Forgiveness is the theme of this morning's message. Forgiveness was the reason Jesus Christ was crucified. The sins of mankind had separated us from a holy, loving God. Our sins are what would keep us from entering through the gates of heaven, because no sin is allowed there. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of the sins we have committed, be it only a little white lie, we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of entering heaven." Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Every single one of us has sinned. But God doesn't want our sin to separate us from Him. His desire is to cleanse us from the sin we have committed. He discovered a way to remove the sins from our shoulders and to place it all upon the shoulders of another, willing to take our judgment upon Himself, because God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 4:19 explains that He first loved us. And God commended His love. He praised His love for us, because it was bestowed to us, offered to us, when we least deserved it. Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested," or made visible, "the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The propitiation, the atonement, the replacement. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. John 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The book of Romans tells us how we accept Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son's sacrifice. In chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God offers you his mercy. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Mercy, powerful word. According to the Webster's Dictionary, printed back in 1828, the definition of mercy is this: that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice would warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy, Mr. Webster says. That which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity, or compassion and clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. You can't give mercy to someone who hasn't offended. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. And God offers his mercy to you this morning, just as he offered it to the very men who nailed him to the cross. In Luke 23, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But death couldn't stop them. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose again from the dead, just like he said he would. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy could there possibly be before him as he hung there on the cross. What joy could there be that he was looking forward to, which would allow him to endure the cross, endure the suffering and the shame, endure becoming sin, endure death? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The joy he looked forward to was us. As they nailed each hand and nailed his feet, he saw us. The joy of us being saved from our sins. As they placed the crown of thorns on his head and mocked him and pulled out his beard, he saw you. The joy of seeing us accept the gift he offered us, forgiveness from our sins. The joy of seeing those who accept his gift of salvation, his gift of love, forever escape the place of eternal judgment called hell. The joy of being unified together in heaven with all who will believe in him, who will call upon his name in prayer, who will ask for the complete forgiveness he offers and receive it to themselves. We are his joy. The Bible says that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. It doesn't say that the angels are the ones who have the joy. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who's the only other person up in heaven? God. You know who has the joy and who exhibits the joy when you accept the forgiveness he's offered you? God. You are his joy. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He became sin for you. He died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you. Will you accept the forgiveness offered to you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you loved us before we loved you, while we were yet sinners. Amazing love, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. You offer us complete forgiveness. Your mercy endureth forever. Father, speak by your Holy Spirit to the hearts of the people in this room and draw them to you. God, if there's one here this morning who has not received and accepted the complete forgiveness offered by your Son's death, burial, and resurrection, may they right now call out to you in prayer and accept it, believing in their heart. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, if you have not yet called out to God to get that forgiveness right now in your seat, why don't you pray to God? Just tell him you believe in him. Tell him you accept his Son's sacrifice on the cross for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and to save you and to take you to heaven when you die. He's promised that if you do that, he'll hear you, cleanse you, and save you. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many would say, Pastor Ryan's, I just prayed for the first time, or I just prayed and got it settled. Right now, I ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me and take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you very much. How many of you would say, Pastor Ryan's, I have already accepted Christ as my Savior, and I'll meet him in heaven one day. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Father, we lift our hearts in gratitude to you today, and gratitude to your Son and the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you and honor you with all the love we have in our hearts, Lord. We lift our hearts, mind, soul, and body up in praise to you, Lord, for your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. We're so thankful, Lord, he rose from the grave. We're looking forward one day, Lord, to rise in ourselves and be in forever with you. I ask you, please, to help us, Lord, to just feel your presence throughout this day, Lord, more than usual. Help us to remember and appreciate your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.